Romans chapter number 15, we'll read verse 20 here and 21 of Romans chapter number 15. And the Bible says here in Romans 15, verse 20, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." And we'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer this evening. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this day. Thank you for this church, these people who have gathered together, Lord, to hear preaching from your word. I mean, in some sense, yes, they gathered together to hear me preach, but all of us are here because we want to hear from you, Lord. We need to hear from you here this evening, Lord. Please work through the preaching of your word as you see fit. I'm nothing. I'm worthless, Lord, but the only worth I have is through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. But I pray that you would use me as you see fit to be a blessing to these people who are gathered here this evening, to work in their hearts and their lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would just use this time for your honor and your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we know the book of Romans is written by the Apostle Paul. And he had been talking about some of the different places where he had been able to preach the gospel. If we look at verse 19, the Bible says, "Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." So he's talking about some of those different places he's been able to preach. He started, obviously, as we know, at Jerusalem. The Bible records that. And this is talking, at this point, he had gone as far as Illyricum, which is, I think, in one of the Slavic nations. He had been able to get that far at this point, north of Greece. He had gone far with the gospel into Europe, and we know later in his ministry he goes to Italy, and there are some rumors he might have made it as far as, like, Spain or France, but we don't know that for sure. We do know he made it to Italy with the gospel, and that was a significant portion of the known world. That was miraculous that he was able to travel that much at that time just with the gospel as a tent maker. And God worked that out so that, honestly, we would someday be able to hear the gospel. I mean, as in America here, a lot of us are from European descent, and we were able to hear about the gospel that way. It's good that God had worked that out for us, for all the world to really hear through the apostles at that time. But what did Paul say? He wanted to proclaim the gospel where people hadn't yet heard. He wanted to tell people who didn't know. I mean, this was a different time back then. We realized this. They didn't have the same kind of media, the same kind of social media, the live streams that we're privileged to have, and the different things were able to spread news so very, very quickly. Things can spread in an instant, you know. Sometimes we can hear about things on our phones through different apps and whatnot before even the news has picked it up or something like that. But the news of the most important news in all of human history, that Christ had died and rose again, amen, that had to travel in a different way because they didn't have this technology back then. So Paul went about and he told people and he preached. We have recording of that in the book of Acts, and we hear about some of the different stuff he did. And people hadn't heard yet. They didn't really know. They might have heard a little bit of news about some guy named Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified in Jerusalem, and they might have heard rumor about it, but that's probably all they heard. The news might have spread some, but someone had to tell them the truth of the gospel, that all of us are sinners. They were sinners, we're sinners, and we need a Savior to save us from our sins. We need something to be able to open heaven's door, to restore fellowship with God, and the only way that that could be done, the only way that still can be done, is through Jesus Christ and faith and trust in Him alone. That's what Paul was doing. To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. But the beginning part of that verse 21 says, "But as it is written." We'll see that phrase sometimes in the Bible, "as it is written," or just different times in the Bible it says that. That means somewhere it was written. Well, let's look where this passage is being quoted. Paul here is quoting Isaiah 52:15. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter number 52. Isaiah chapter number 52, we'll start reading here in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 52, about in the middle of the Bible, it's in the Old Testament here, book of Isaiah chapter number 52, we'll start reading here in verse number 13. And here the Bible says, "Behold, my servant," and that "my servant" there is speaking of Christ. This is prophetic, looking forward to Christ. And what is it going to say here about Christ? The Bible says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Now that part of Scripture is not just saying, yes, he was well known in his time. He did many miracles and he did great things. But also in his death, he was physically lifted up above the earth. We have a cross right behind me. And it is kind of higher up than the rest of the auditorium. He was lifted up on that cross and pain and suffering. Looking at verse 14, the Bible says, As many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Physically, after the torture he went through a lot of torture. It wasn't just having the nails driven through his hands and being put up on that cross. That wasn't the only torture he endured. They slapped him around some. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails, which is very painful. Very, very painful process. Sharp objects on leather straps. Does a lot of damage to the human body. Did a whole lot of damage and would almost kill a person. And a lot of times they would do that to kill people in a very, very painful and torturous manner. And it would leave someone deformed and marred. And the Bible says here that Christ's form was more marred than anyone had ever been. He suffered like no one has ever suffered on this earth. He suffered physically. He suffered spiritually during this time on the cross. He suffered very greatly. But why did he suffer? The Bible says in verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Yes, Christ died for our sins. But as your pastor was just mentioning, Christ didn't just die for us. He died for the whole world. He died so that all could have a chance at going to heaven and to give that opportunity to all of the world. And we do need to reach the whole world. And around the world, there are a lot of people who have not yet heard what Christ done for them. They don't understand. They haven't heard the truth of the gospel. There are many, many places that need to hear what Christ has done for them. Now, after I had visited Mexico twice, I had seen that Mexico is a big country, huge country, lots and lots of people. At first, it's just like, wait, I need to have a specific city in mind when I'm going to Mexico, because people started asking where in Mexico I was going when I would tell them I was called to Mexico. And then I realized, oh my goodness, it's a huge country. And I started to see the need all across the country for Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. I saw that there was a great need, many, many people who needed to hear the gospel for the first time. And on the second trip I took, I started to see the Bajío region around Guadalajara, León, Irapuato, and Querétaro. Bunch of big cities right there, all fairly close together, within a few hours of each other. Big, growing cities in that region. And God put Querétaro in my heart, as I said. I don't know if there's anyone soul winning in that city, and that's the most important thing. I don't know if the last time a tract was handed out in that city was when I was surveying the city back in March. That might be the case. And that breaks my heart if that's the case. When I was handing out those tracts, I was thinking, what do I do if someone asks more about it? We have a conversation and they ask me where they should go to church. Do I tell them to drive 2 hours to go to a church, an hour and a half, 45 minutes to go to church? Is that what I should tell them? Should I try to set up something else? And that troubled me. It's like, what am I supposed to say to this? They didn't teach me that in Bible college. What do you say when you're surveying a city and you aren't going to be there for a couple of years? That wasn't covered in Bible college. There are very few soul winners in the city. It's a place where the truth of Christ has not been preached much recently. There hasn't been a lot of that going on in recent years. But I say all of that, yes, Christ suffered for them, but I would be foolish to say that Querétaro is the only place that needs the gospel, the only place that needs churches. Because there's a lot of other places that need churches too. There's this place, this geographical region we refer to as the 1040 window. It's a huge chunk of like Asia and Africa. I think it might stretch some into Europe. Huge chunk of the world, a lot of closed nations, and billions of people who have yet to hear the gospel. Many, 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 many people who have yet to hear anything about that, who don't even probably realize what the name Jesus even means, who would be confused if you would talk about any of this. They might not understand the creation story, as some religions do teach. Similar creation story to what we teach. They don't even have that beginning foundation of how God created the universe. They have no knowledge of the truth. There are other closed countries as well in different parts of the world, and honestly, there are a lot more countries that are becoming closed. This COVID thing has closed off a lot of the world and made missions work difficult for a lot of people. I know of some different people waiting to get into different countries and people waiting to get into different countries for language training. I'm aware that that's really the case. It's a difficult time in some aspects right now. That there's also people realizing that there's a need that their souls have, that they may face eternity. We have an opportunity in this as well. But there's also some maps like that are great, But it's really tough, I guess, to have all the little island dots across the Pacific. It would be tough. You could just, I guess, splatter paint, but there's so many little islands all across the Pacific. Some of them with a few hundred people, some with a few thousand people. Just the Philippines is a bigger country. Indonesia is a bigger country. And man, there's millions and millions of people all across that region who also need the gospel. But we look closer to home. We look at Canada. We've heard in the news about what's happened in Canada to people who have preached the gospel. And if you're putting preachers in jail, there's a need for more people to hear about Christ. Because I normally Christians don't throw other Christians in jail for preaching the gospel. I don't think that that is the case. There's a need for people to hear the gospel in Canada. Many in Canada have yet to hear the gospel, but in America, there's a need for the gospel. I long in this area. I know in Northeast Ohio, there's still a need. There's a lot of people who aren't saved in Northeast Ohio. I'm familiar with this region at some level. And I have a burden for this region as well. I want people to go here. God's called me to Mexico. I'm going to Mexico, and I still have a burden for Mexico. But I want God to send people here too. And I'm thankful for people like you who are here in this place where I grew up. I'm thankful for that because there are people who need to hear the gospel here in Northeast Ohio, in the greater Cleveland area, here in North Ridgeville, Ohio. There are people who are lost on their way to hell who need to hear what Christ has done for them. So I just talked about there's a lot of people all around the world who need to hear the gospel. So what are we supposed to do about this? There are a couple of things we can do about this. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10. There are two things we can do about this problem of people needing to hear the gospel. And we'll look at them here quickly. Luke chapter number 10. We'll be looking at the second verse here of Luke chapter number 10. And here Christ is going to speak to his disciples. And the Bible says in here in Luke 10 verse 2, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." The Bible says that we need to pray for laborers in the harvest. We need to pray that God would send people to tell people. That's what we need to do. God does want all to be saved. We know that's what the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that's what the Bible says. We know that is God's heart. And we want, as Christians, we should want to get God's heart. We should want to gain that as we read the Bible and as we pray, as we walk with God. We should want to gain His heart. And a big part of His heart is souls. Now, we can't reach 8 billion people. The earth is at 7.8 billion people, I believe, right now. Maybe it's crossed over into 7.9 billion since I last looked at that statistic. But this world is growing. There are more people being born every day. There's many, many people in this world. We can't reach all of them. We can't have a conversation with half of them. But we can pray that God would send people to these different places we hear about. We can pray that God would help those people as they go. We need your prayers. We covet your prayers. We hand out those prayer cards. We had them designed. We had them printed. And as you go through that process, you don't think much of it. But it's an important thing that you do pray for us. We're going to be going to a place where we're going to have to battle Satan, maybe with a little bit more intensity than we'd have to in other places. Maybe we'd have to fight more. We need your prayers as we go, and we need to still pray that others would go to other parts of the world. Because the thing is there are more laborers. There's going to be more work getting done. There's some farms, I'm sure, near this area. That not too far from here, you could see a farm. And now we have this great harvesting equipment that can gather in stuff very quickly. But back in the times of the Bible, or I guess in some different crops and whatnot, you might not be able to farm with a machine. You might have to pick stuff by hand. And I know that when I was driving to Querétaro for the first time, we were passing by some massive strawberry fields, square mile after square mile after square mile of strawberry fields. And you would see a few people in the field there just picking the strawberries, putting them in their baskets and trying to gather that and probably shipping some of them up here or getting them ready for the agua de fresa that I would be drinking. I love strawberries. They're great. They're probably my favorite fruit. That's nothing to do with the sermon. But as those people are doing that, but as those people are picking those strawberries, getting it ready for me to eat them, if there were five people, I feel like I saw a huge field and there was like 5 to 10 people there. It's going to take them a while to pick all those strawberries, isn't it? If it's harvest time, they're going to have to get a lot of work done. It's going to take them a long time. But let's say there were 20 people. That should get done about twice as fast, right? What if there were 40 people in this massive, 10 square mile field, for we'll say? If there were 40 people, they'd be able to get it done a lot quicker than if there were 5 people. Now, yes, I love strawberries. Strawberries are a great fruit. But more important than strawberries getting picked are that souls get saved, that people hear what Christ has done for them, that people trust Christ as their Savior. And this harvest of souls is far more important. And we need more laborers in this harvest of souls. So as we pray for laborers, we also want to participate in the labor. We know what the Bible says in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Most missionaries do quote that at some point in their sermon or another. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And then Christ says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Amen." That's what the Bible says. So we're all commissioned to be participating in this labor. Yes, we pray for laborers, but we need to participate ourselves in this labor to teach the lost about salvation, see the saved, baptized, and teach them. Now, these are challenging things. These are difficult things at times. Soul winning has become much more difficult over the past year and a half. Satan's used this as an opportunity to discourage that and dissuade that, to get people scared of their own shadow just about. And now it's very difficult to talk to strangers. People will slam doors in your faces. I've gone soul winning before. That happens a lot of times. It's been a lot easier since my daughter's been born, because when we take her along, it's just like everyone wants to see her bright, smiling face. Everyone's just like, oh, her hair. Everyone's talking about that. So recently that we haven't had to deal with that. Praise the Lord. But sometimes, even if a door is slammed in your face, even if someone is rude and unkind, it can still be worth it. There was a man in Martinsburg, West Virginia, almost 20 years ago now. He was not saved, not going to church, and he was, a hardworking man. He had been in prison all week. He was a prison guard, so he'd been in prison all week, so he was glad to be sitting on his own couch, not around prisoners, just watching a movie. He was relaxing. And then he hears a knock on his door. He hears that knock, and he's thinking, man, I got to go up, and I got to get the door, got to deal with whoever, salesman, whatever this is. He pauses his VHS tape movie. He gets up to the door. He's like, what do you want? Not very nice to the man, not very kind to the man who's there. But that man still says, you know what, I'll go ahead and I will leave you a tract. I will give you a tract. So he takes it, he leaves it on his table, still not happy that the man was there, still wanted to just do his own thing, wanted to spend his life the way he wanted to. But that tract still sat there, and he kept thinking about that tract. Yes, he wasn't nice to the man. Yes, that man ended up not being at that church anymore. Something happened to that. We don't know what happened to that soul winner. But I do know what happened to that man who received the tract. He ended up calling the church saying, hey, are you guys open on Sundays? He hadn't been at church much, and he wasn't familiar with Baptist churches, and he didn't know that they were open on Sundays. This church was. He went there on the Sunday. He got saved. He trusted Christ as his personal Savior. He got baptized there. His wife got saved. His daughter got saved. And they were in church for a time. They fell out of church for a bit, then they got back into church. And then they became very involved in church. And now that man is still sitting on a platform at Frederick Baptist Church, our sending church in Frederick, Maryland. That man is my father-in-law. That little girl that got saved is now my wife. Just because a soul winner was still willing to give that tract, even when it didn't seem like it was going to be worth it. Even though it seemed like, no, this guy will never darken the doors of a church. He's never going to get saved, probably. Things were not looking good. I don't know the details of the interaction at that doorway, but I know that in eternity it turned out to be worthwhile. Because now, not only is he on his way to heaven, he's led others to Christ. He's a bus captain. He's doing different things. He's a Christian school principal. God has used him in mighty ways, all because the soul winner was willing to still hand out that tract, even though it didn't seem like it was wanted. He still was willing to do that. It can still be worth it if it seems like it's not going to be worthwhile. That soul winner still doesn't know that my father-in-law got saved, by the way. He ended up going to a different church or leaving church altogether. I have no idea. But even though he doesn't know about it, even though we don't know about it on this earth, it could still be worth it in eternity. We'll find out later what will happen. And sometimes as Christians, our labor ends up, we'll see the fruit of it sometimes years down the road. We put in that work, we put in that labor, and it comes out years down the road. Not only is soul winning an area where that is the case, but seeing people baptized. That's still a command. That's still something the Bible says that we're supposed to do. And I know that that is very difficult. I know that follow-up is challenging because Satan works actively. As soon as someone trusts Christ as their Savior, to steal away that seed. I know that I was able, it's been about a year now, but a coworker of mine trusted Christ as a Savior. And he was there in church that following Sunday. I was very excited about this, that he was there. He didn't get baptized at that time. But on that Wednesday morning, on his way to work, he hit a deer with his car. It's a bad thing. He wasn't injured badly or anything. He was a little shaken up, but the car was damaged. You know, normally you hit a deer with your car. You guys are in Ohio. You know how that works. Leaves the car a little deformed. You guys still have deer up here in North Ridgeville that wander around, right? Yeah. Okay, so this isn't a foreign concept to you guys. It leaves the car a little bit deformed, so he had, like, you know, the hood was messed up, the front, the grill area, the radiator's messed up. So he's like, hey, you know, I'm going to go to my dad's this Sunday. He has a car shop down towards Baltimore, and I'll be down there this Sunday getting that fixed, but next Sunday I'll be in church. So he went and missed that first Sunday. Starting working on that, getting that car fixed, then it's like, oh, well, this Sunday, got to wait for some more parts to come in, we got some more work to do on the car, and then just week after week after week, there was more excuses, and then he hasn't been back to church since, despite me trying to invite him to different things, different functions. He hasn't been back to church since. But it's funny, I wonder if he would have stayed faithful if he'd gone that second Sunday. I wonder if that would have happened. I wonder if he would have hit that deer if he'd not trusted Christ as a Savior. I wonder if that wouldn't have been allowed to cross his path. I wonder if Satan tried to orchestrate that for that deer to be there that early morning on that Wednesday on his way to work. I wonder if, because I know Satan does try to frustrate the cause of Christ, and Satan does target Christians and does try to keep them from going to church, from following the Lord in baptism. I know Satan fights that. But we still have to be persistent. It's still the right thing to do, to see people baptized, to disciple people, to teach people from the Word of God how to grow as Christians. That's still our job. Even if it's challenging, even if it's difficult, even if it's not someone we led to Christ, we can still work to see them baptized. We can still work on discipling them, encouraging them as a Christian, and helping them grow as a Christian. Now, God has called us to do these things, not only of praying for laborers, but participating in this labor. Now, as God calls us to do stuff, He equips us to do that. He helps us do that. And He gives us what we need to do whatever He's called us to do. God will help my wife and I as we go to Mexico, but God helps each of us as He's called each of us to go out with the gospel and to tell others what Christ has done for them. Now, let me say this. You may not be personally called to go around the world with the gospel. I don't know. God does that calling. There are some missionaries, some people who will get up and say, hey, you need to come to the country that I'm going to. And I'd be glad if you did, but I'd want you to do what God wants you to do. That's the most important thing you can do in your life. Now, as we serve God wherever we are, a lot of times He makes it clear to us that He wants us someplace else. God does that working. I don't know how to do that work. I don't know how that works. But I know how God did that in my life. I know that I was winning souls when God called me to Mexico. I know that I was becoming active in that. But a couple years before that, I wasn't active in that. And I wasn't sure about what God wanted me to do with my life at that point. Wasn't very interested a couple years before God called me. But then as I started doing what God wanted me to do, I was more interested in doing it. And then God made it clear, hey, this is what I want you to do. And we got to remember, wherever we may be is our mission field. You've heard stories from different people, from different missionaries, I'm sure. You recently took on some missionaries, which is great. You've heard some different stories about different places, about faraway places, maybe some closer places. But the mission field isn't just in Africa. It's not just in Mexico. Mission field is also right here in North Ridgeville, Ohio, in North Olmsted, Elyria, wherever you guys reach out to this area. Here is your mission field where you guys need to tell people about Christ, your coworkers, your neighbors. We have those opportunities, your friends, your family members. We need to not neglect these people that need to hear the gospel just as much as the people on the other side of the world need to hear the gospel. So let's remember to pray for laborers in the harvest, but also let's make sure we participate in this great harvest of souls. We'll go ahead and bow our heads and